radio show. Glad to be back in the building. It's another Monday, another episode of TBP. We want to thank you for spending an hour of your evening with the nonsense it is we do around here. We also want to thank our underwriters. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by North Rim Adventure Sports, offering bicycle sales and rentals, cycling apparel and equipment, and a bicycle service shop. North Rim Adventure Sports features Trek bicycles and other brands at 178 East 2nd Street in downtown Chico, California. You can also hit them up, northrimadventure.com. Appreciate you, North Rim Adventure Sports. Appreciate you, the listener. With no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's start the show.
Practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. What's good? We back. Another episode of Talkin' Bow Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. My name is Jarrell Gilbert. Hello. You got the Bearded Bandito, former Bearded Bandito, out of town. He's in L.A. Our man, the big homie J-Pounds, Jordan Booth, is up in Reading. However, not to fear, we got my man Sonny Slim, a.k.a. the lanky legend, a.k.a. John Lucan in the building. What's good?
A.k.a. the petty pusher. What's going on, everyone?
Yes, sir. That's funny for those that know you. That's
yeah.
Pretty great.
Long story short is I threw a golf ball at my neighbors the other night for playing music too loud.
I like the message that you sent
them. I wrote shut up on the golf ball.
We also got Brad the Butcher, a.k.a. the Game Killer, a.k.a. There's so many a.k.a.s for you. Stepman Brad's here. Stepman Brad.
A.k.a. B-Rabbit.
Yeah!
Oh my god.
I wasn't ready for that.
That was the worst.
Jesus.
Please don't ever call yourself that again.
Yeah, that's not going to fly. No,
don't do that one.
That didn't work for me. We also got special guest in the house from Exploso Tattoo. We got the owner in the building. Hoser, what's good, Hoser?
Yo, what's up? What's up? You know.
It's good to have you, bro.
It's good to be here. Thanks for inviting me out here.
Yeah, man. We've been trying to do this for a minute, so it's good to finally get you out here. We actually have a real live sports in the U.S., not Major League Soccer, that actually mattered, that played. And we don't know how long they're going to play, but hey, we'll take it while we got it. We'll get in Major League Baseball. We got some NBA for you. We got a hockey update and a golf date update from our foreign correspondent coming up. But first, we want to introduce you to our guest in the studio, let you get to know him a little bit more, give him a bit of a new audience. So, Hoser, you own Exploso Tattoos. How long have you been doing tattoos now?
Well, technically, I've been doing tattoos for 13 years,
okay.
And I've been open for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's been your own shop for 10 years?
It has been my own shop for 10 years.
Wow.
This year it was.
Okay, so listen up, boys and girls. If you're thinking about starting your own company because you can't find a job right now because, you know, the pandemic, you might learn something. You're going to learn today. So, Hoser, you started your own shop 10 years ago. What made you want to get into tattooing?
Well, what made me want to get into tattooing, it was something I never even thought of growing up. The first time I tattooed myself, I was 13, you know, and my mom slapped the shit out of me for that.
Yeah.
And I did that with just a regular bobby pin and thread. the old school way. So, and then after that, I never thought about it. Went to college for art and, you know, got studied up in the art and everything and the business of art and the graphic design. So I also learned the new technology stuff as well as studied up on the traditional arts, figurative drawing and stuff like that. My background was graffiti drawing. So it's kind of weird how I never got into tattooing. But in Orland, I guess we just weren't thug enough or whatnot. or just couldn't get the supplies. But basically how I got into it, when your back is against the wall and you got to put, you know, you got to make ends meet, especially when you just got a newborn, you know, and you know people. I had a friend who was a carpenter, turned into a tattoo guy, and he noticed I had this talent. And so he would, every now and then when I would see him, he'd bring it up. And so when I had the kid, I was like, you know what, I could do that. I need to do that.
Yeah.
Like, this is my opportunity. Like, if nothing else, I was 25 years old. So I was 25.
Just
had a kid, 6 months old.
Head first.
Jumped in the head. He gave me a little crash course lesson. This is what you're supposed to do. This is how you set it up. This is where I get my shit from. And I was off and running. You know, I had my little notebook, and then I wrote some stuff down. And after that, it was a wrap, you know. And, then just was doing it out of the kitchen, you know. Out of the kitchen.
Wow.
You know, people, you know, they rap about, you
out
know,
the trunk.
Cooking dope in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know.
You started out
cooking birds, and I was tatting birds. I was doing a lot of tattooing doves. A lot of people with the doves, getting doves.
Oh, I want to ask you more questions about the business, but before we get to that, I wanted to ask some tattoo etiquette questions. And watch the language for us, because we don't want to get in any trouble.
Oh,
around
okay.
Here. Yeah,
oh,
you're good, bro.
I don't know how real we were keeping it.
You're real far from the first person to cuss on this show.
Well,
let me tell
you. I'm glad
you
let me know.
Yeah.
Let me just flip the script.
You're good, brother. You're good.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask you a couple of tattoo etiquette questions. So one, when someone comes to you, and they have a real whack idea for a design, what is your response?
Well, I try not to make any facial expressions, but
do you try to like steer them into like a different, like kind of change up their idea a little bit, or do you?
Well,
just...
I definitely don't want to put them down. Like their idea is, you know, whatever it could be, whatever I think of it.
Yeah.
So if that is the case. You know, I look at placement. I look at what tattoos are already around it that might be surrounding it and how to complement those tattoos, you know, and kind of tell them to think outside the box. And then if it's clashing, I just tell them, hey, you know, if you want my opinion, because usually they'll say, well, what do you think?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I tell them, well, this is what I think, you know, and I'm like, but if you're trying to do this, we could do it. But, you know, that's why we sign these waiver forms, and you're going to sign that waiver form. Right.
But no, I mean, tattoo, as far as an art form and as a business, I mean, to get, you know, your work done on me, that's free marketing for you. Are you ever worried about, you know, putting a tattoo on someone that you don't really want to stand behind? Or,
well, at this point in my career, I thought I've done a good job of brushing those off if it is something that's going to be questionable. You know, I've only had one person come in wanting a Nazi sign. That was like 8 years ago. You know,
and, like,
you know, of course I said no. But anything else, I mean, I haven't done anything that's like you can't wear to work. You know, I don't do anything gang related or anything like that, or anything that's like obscene.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You know, we're doing artwork.
Right.
You know, a lot of religious stuff, or a lot of people's hobbies, people's interests, you know, music.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and portraits of loved ones. So, you know, that's what we're doing. So if someone does have an idea, you know, I just try to give them the best information possible. I talk about the future and what that may look like. And things like that,
right.
And, you know, and if they have pictures they're showing me, I'm like, this looks photoshopped, or this looks, you know, like this not gonna happen, you know, and
right.
Or I send them to other artists, you know, and then, you know, like, hey, this is more this person's style. Cause, you know, I do only book a certain style, so, and that's where I don't shoot myself in the foot, because I am only saying yes to certain tattoos that I want to do.
So it kind of saves yourself in a sense, and instead of kind of shooting someone down, you're just like, hey, that's not really my style. Let's get you with, you know, someone that's more in tune with that.
Yeah, but even when it comes into my style, sometimes it's still like the idea is just kind of like, because I don't really do, I'm so, because when you're running a private studio, you don't have much time, especially with all the other stuff I got going on. If I was just solely a tattoo artist with nothing on the side, and I was just all about art, then maybe I had more time to talk to them. But mostly I'm just like, hey, you booked an appointment 3 months from now, and I'm going to have to talk to you. You know, just send me your ideas, and I'll talk to you that day about designing it. So I do design it that day.
Yeah.
So, and that's where that trust comes in.
Right.
Because then they're like, and so sometimes I don't know what they're getting until that day, and then I'm like, oh, you know, or they'll change it up on me. Oh, you know what? Never mind. So they got on the calendar booking this appointment.
Right.
And then, and I'm versatile to where that doesn't bother me. you know, I'm like, I come in, I want to do, we're about to do a Red Lion, you know, and then, like, for instance, one time this guy's like, I want to book an eagle across my back. I'm like, all right, booked it, I'm stoked. They're going to do a bald eagle. And he comes in, and it's a Philadelphia Eagles, the logo. I'm like, oh, man, it's totally let down. But, you know, I knew the guy, so, you know, yeah. I gave him a little bit of grief for that. I'm like, man, you should have been more, you know, open about that. I'm a Raider fan. You know what I mean?
Got you.
So, but, you know, I still did a real rad tattoo on him, and he liked it. And so,
gotcha.
You know, so the client's always about the client.
Yeah.
But, you know, you try to give him your best, you know, the best information and your opinion. And yeah. I also say, hey, it's your tattoo, though.
Right.
Like,
you got to live with this forever.
We could do this if you want, but just let people know that I was trying to tell you something different. And you were rocking with this, which you probably won't mention in your story, right?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know.
So, let me ask you. So, I also do a hip-hop show here, and I have a lot of people, especially friends and family members, reach out to me like, yo, I got a friend who raps. I rap. Check out this album, check out that album. I was wondering how you handle it when people, like friends and family, holler at you like, yo, I want to get a tattoo, hook me up. Because you know what they're asking for. They want it done for free or for cheap. How do you yeah. handle those situations?
Well, as far as family members, how I handle those situations when they're looking for hookups would be, luckily for my family, we're not very, no one's really tatted up.
Okay.
And so there has been a couple that went and got tattoos elsewhere.
Yeah.
Does that hurt your feelings a little bit?
No.
They go somewhere else?
No. I know you got to compartmentalize things. Yeah. You know, and that's yeah. what I learned in college and just, you know, learning from other artists that were already in business. You know, you don't want to get involved with your emotions, which is something I also learned from sports, which, you know, I broke my hand losing in a game when I was a junior in high school. So, you know, losing is not, right. you know, I learned from that.
But, yeah, no doubt.
But I also, you know, missed 10 games. So as far as when I lose clients like that, all the love, like, if you're getting tattooed, like, that's awesome, you know what I mean?
Right.
And if you're keeping another artist busy, you know, it's probably for a reason, because hopefully because he's good and not because he's doing it for $20,
yeah.
Which is sometimes people's mistake.
Right.
You got to do your research. So my little brother does tattoos, so I know he's tattooed several of my cousins and cousins' kids. But, you know, before that, I didn't have many reaching out to me.
Gotcha.
But they also know I'm pretty outspoken. So I let them know, right. like, hey, like, I'm not in this to hook up people up.
This is my business.
You know, yeah. it's business.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to maximize. And so I don't tattoo a lot of friends or homies.
I feel that. Yeah.
I mean, they end up being friends.
Yeah.
Or some are friends that come through. But most of them, I would say a big majority of them are people who don't know me.
I got
and
you.
Are traveling from elsewhere. And
yeah.
they just want really cool tattoos.
Yeah, because I've dealt with it. Just we recently started selling shirts for the show. These shirts that I'm wearing right
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah. This is,
you could go buy one, TBP Not A Gang. Go ahead, check it out on Instagram.
Yeah.
But I've had homies
I'll
hit
buy
me
one.
Up. All right, we got yeah. you, bro. I've had homies hit me up like, yo, can you hook up a shirt? And it's like, it's $20.
Yeah.
Like, hook yourself up, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we're trying to start something here. We're using this money to invest in the business.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't spend all this money on shirts to hand them all out for
free. Well, yeah, I always told people, well, how much does that LRG shirt cost you?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how come
cheap.
I can't get that?
Yeah.
You know? And
exactly. Go buy
and
one.
And you're supporting your friend or your homie or your cousin.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know,
exactly. Because I think we all, I mean, it goes the same. Him and I both bartend. Our other buddy, Derek, who's on the show, bartends. And it's kind of a rule. Like, if you come in and you're the homie, you know, we'll buy you around, you know, buy a couple shots on us. If you don't ask for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you come in like, yo, can you hook it up? It's like,
expected,
not anymore.
The expected hookup.
Yeah, when it becomes expected just because you know people that work there, like, I'm good.
And you're bringing it up. It's like, not only are they expecting it, they're, like, actually bringing it up.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Exactly. Exactly. I would take care of you, just,
yeah.
like, chill.
Yeah, and do they ever take care of you? I mean,
usually they tip out.
Some.
But if they're asking for
yeah.
a hookup,
yeah.
then, nah, they're
yeah.
probably not going to tip you that
yeah.
well. You
yeah,
know, like,
they're broke right now.
They're probably hurting. And just let me know on the side, like, yo, my pockets are kind of thin. Like, we could work something out.
Yeah.
Just, like, don't come through like, oh, my boy's got me
yeah.
up top.
And then they're with their friends, right? So you're like,
always.
Oh, yeah, trying to stunt, too. Like, I know him.
Yeah.
It's always the people you barely know. They're like, that's my boy. It's like, what's your name again?
Yeah.
I barely remember
yeah,
this.
Yeah, sometimes
kid.
You got to put him on the spot. You know, you don't want to be for quarrels, but
yeah,
no doubt.
You know, there's been times where I'm like, I'm not your homie. You know?
Right? Yeah, yeah. We know
even
each other.
Even though I know them, yeah.
It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's friendly, but
tough.
Like, there's a difference, man.
But you got to stick to your principles. I think that's one
yeah.
thing I've always learned and what I was taught. You know, just stick to your principles and
yeah.
you know, and t-shirt business. I've I've done t-shirts and people hit me up and messaged me, save me one.
Yeah.
I got you and blah, blah.
Yeah, the one you got on now is fire.
And then, this is for softball. You know, so okay, I started a softball team just so I can get out more.
Yeah.
You know,
and
get that vitamin D. You know, no doubt.
So,
from the sun, you know, which I was missing out on a lot for the first 7 years, you know, just grinding.
Yeah.
You know, and then everyone's talking about how fun it is and just being out there and, you know, being competitive. You're like, all right, now I'm at a point where this is the time I can take a break.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I come out with stuff and give the, you know, cool gear pretty much almost every year. And so the teammates like it and, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
so talk to us going back to starting your own business. We are all in a rural area here in Chico and the surrounding areas, right? What are some of the challenges you face starting a business in a place as small as Orland?
Well, the challenges, I guess, would just be advertising. But to me, I never really looked at it as a challenge. It was just more challenging myself to do the stuff, to actually get up and just do what needed to be done.
Yeah, self-motivation.
Whether it was getting the paperwork and filling it out and turning it in accordingly and going through the proper steps, you know, where you got to go to the health department first in the city and then sometimes back and forth, you know, and not getting frustrated. But to be honest, man, it was so easy. I was, like, perplexed how easy it was.
Really?
And, yeah, it was. And, you know, things kind of changed because then the regulations changed in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got in 2010, it was kind of like the city of Orland had no clue.
Yeah.
What was going on? And,
yeah.
It was easier than the,
that sounds about right.
Than, beauty salon. So they're all like barbers, like, man, we got to do this and take a state board and blah, blah, blah. And we're just cutting hair. I'm like, well, you're also dealing with chemicals. And they're like, well, you're dealing with needles and blood. And I'm like, correct. I was like, but we didn't have to do any of that. And so I don't know why, but I just followed along with what they were asking. And that's not my fault, you know. So, but other than that, me being just, again, I don't know, my competitiveness in me and, so I'm bilingual, so I'm fluent in Spanish. So I never really worried about markets I needed to tap into. I already had those markets established.
Right.
You know,
sure.
I was an athlete, so I had all the athletes from Chico State, Butte College, and you know, and even those that used to play or whatnot. And then so
what sports did you play?
I played basketball.
Okay.
So I played basketball, and so and then I was always, you know, hanging out with, you know, basically La Raza. So I was at quinceañeras, bailes, you know, weddings and things like that. And so I would also be mingling with the Mexican culture.
Right.
So I had no problem. And then in Chico, there was no one that spoke Spanish, I believe, at the time in the tattoo shops.
Okay.
You know, now there's
wow.
a couple.
That is shocking for
sure. I think back in 2010, like, I don't remember. There might have been one, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember. At all. I think there was zero.
So that definitely helped you.
Well, they would come in from Yuba City, from Chico,
okay.
Gridley,
okay.
And
in that industry too. Is it more? Do you see more benefit like in marketing and like say social medias, or is it more word of mouth? Or
A lot of mine was just word of mouth, just because they saw a real cool tattoo, and you know, and when they see a cool tattoo, that's gonna create. Where'd you get it at?
Right.
Yep.
And where's his number? Where's he at?
Yeah, that's how I found out about you. We had a guy come into the bar, and you just did an arm piece for him the day before. I was like, yo, where'd you get that? It looks fresh. He's like, oh, I just got it. My man Hoser out at Exploso, and I found you on Instagram from there.
Okay.
And I was just like, yo, you're actually really talented.
And that's where you try to treat it, that hopefully the next person that sees it is going to be like, wow. And, you know, and then I'm also pushing myself. So there's a lot of factors on why I do a good job.
Yeah.
You know, and just like LeBron, you know, you want to play good so they come back and keep watching you play.
Right.
And pay outrageous amount of money to watch play. Like, I'm getting paid a tattoo, and I'm just, you know, I'm just like, wow. You know what I mean? Because I remember when it was, you know, when it was real.
10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Even that, I mean, was probably just the popularity in tattoos now and just kind of the art form that it's kind of shaped. It's, I feel like, the price, the dollar for every tattoo is gone up astronomically.
Yeah, correct. And you know what? Social media definitely helps, because not only the people were coming for me from the referencing, but now I was able to just reach out with people with Facebook, Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the value, when I started up, if you go to a shop, they're already like, this is where we start at. So they're already giving you your value.
Yeah.
And they're like, and so you're like, all right, even if you're new, you're like, okay, this is where I'm starting at. So, you know, so I did my little research and would send people that didn't have tattoos, go in here and just ask them for this and see what you say.
Yeah.
And then so I was doing my own little research to kind of see where I'm at, And then, you know, or I'd ask people, hey, where'd you get that done at? How much did they charge you, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah.
You know, how long did it take? And then, so then I'm comparing it to me. Well, this took me 2 hours, and it was way bigger, and I did it, you know, and it came out way better or whatnot. Yeah. You know, and so then you start, you know, giving yourself raises. But I wanted to prove to the people first before I started doing that.
Right.
And so, but, you know, Facebook helps, you know, referencing. And then social media. You pay a bill for having a phone, you might as well take advantage of it. And sometimes people don't know how to take advantage of that.
And like, and just like in sports, you know, you're always trying to, you know, perfect a part of your game, right?
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, is there something you try, like you said you do kind of one style, but like, is there something you try to perfect, you know, as the years go on? Is like, all right, this year I want to get better at this.
Like something you're not comfortable with that you really try and work on? Or
nah, just color work. Just trying to be better at color realism. Even black and gray, just trying to make it more realistic.
Yeah.
Trying to push my boundaries. I know there's already artists out there way better than me pushing the boundaries. So I'm just trying to like keep up with them. And not even trying to keep up with them. I'm just trying to like do the best I could in.
Right.
Yeah. And just try to be the best that I could be, basically. And not even really, I guess, worry about that.
Where'd the name Exploso come from?
It came from playing basketball.
Okay.
You know, a friend named John Uten, out in Arizona. He was from Los Angeles. So he was going to school out there for music. And we'd always play at this park. And then I was always busting everyone's butt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nice work there. Yeah, nice. You learn it. He learns quick.
You know what I mean?
Kid.
Yeah, and so I remember, you know, and over there, you know, even if basically whoever had a game was on.
Yeah.
So even if I just played and lost, someone could pick me up and I could just keep playing. Well, I remember one game in particular, I hit 7 threes, which put us at 14 points, but we lost 15-14.
Ouch.
But so the guy picked me up and he was just like, oh, I got Hozo Exploso. And then I was like, what'd you say? And he was like, oh, man, you know, you like that? And I was like, yeah, it was all right. And, and then I stuck with that, you know. So I tried to find him just to kind of give him a thanks for that. But, yeah, he called me Hozo Exploso. And he actually lived in my apartment complex. And we used to, like, you know, hang out and kick it.
Gotcha.
And stuff. So, yeah, shout out to John Uten out there.
That's what's up. John Uten, if you're listening, we got you, bro. Yeah, we're going to – let's get back into some sport or some tattoo talk here in a bit. I want to find out a bit more about your background with sports and all that. But we do have some actual sports that happened this past week that we should probably get to. I wish Derek was here so we could talk about his $300 million roster splitting with the Giants when I'm a Giants fan and I can know, like, I name, like, three of the players out there. Maybe? Can I even do this that we're playing this weekend? Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
Pablo.
Yastrzemski.
Pablo.
Yastrzemski.
Pence.
All right. I'm struggling. Yeah. Thanks, guys. So anyway, the point being is...
the majority of the like, our rookies that were supposed to play, they're still in Sacramento right now. They're not playing.
No doubt. Yeah, well, so, I also want to point out that whenever the DeBon. Dodgers do terrible, or, I mean, this isn't even terrible. I mean, let's face it, they split a series, but they shouldn't be splitting a home opener against...
They should be going 3-1 at least.
At least. And you'll notice that Derek decided to go to L.A. and not be on the show. And he said it was for his dad's birthday, but I have a sneaking suspicion that he just knew what was going to happen. He was like, nah, I don't want to be there for that. I don't want to deal with them. What are your thoughts? Do you think I'm correct?
Oh,
100%.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
That's why he left. Okay, yeah. I hope he's listening
absolutely.
Right now. Derek, the Dodgers suck. Anyway, that's we had kind of a, well... Let's rewind a bit. Major League Baseball proposed in May the bubble idea. It was in May, right, when they first proposed the idea. And their idea was they would have teams from the AL potentially all go to Florida and play in their spring training facilities down there, and the rest of the teams from the NL go to Arizona and play there. Is that correct so far?
It was actually East and West split.
Okay.
And then it was proposed a 3-bubble system, Arizona, Texas, and Florida.
Got you. But they had the bubble idea first. Everyone laughed at them, made fun of them, and then they got away from the bubble, and their pride got in the way, and they're like, okay, everyone's making fun of us. We're not going to do the bubble. And now we have a situation with the Miami Marlins where 4 players tested positive before the game, correct?
Three. 3 tested positive before the game.
Before
a Sunday's game. So they
Sunday's game against Atlanta?
No, Philadelphia.
Yeah. Philly, I'm sorry.
There was a meeting before, and they were like trying to figure out, like, should we even play this? And everyone's like, yeah, we're fine. Like, it was just those guys. We'll go out and play. We're safe.
Negligence.
Yep.
I feel like of all the sports teams, the Miami Marlins would do this.
I like that you have a Marlins hat on right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
I wore that for the show.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
It would be Miami.
Yeah.
If you look at the numbers down there, the funny thing, not funny, none of this is really funny per se.
It's ironic.
The ironic thing is that they think that they contracted this while they're in Philly, which projecting forward doesn't bode well for an NFL season at all. But staying with baseball, and we could get into that in a second, but it's kind of crazy that they left where basically the hotbed of coronavirus is in our country right now, South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
They left South Beach, and that's when they ran into some issues.
Yeah, so I was going to say the one thing the NFL should be looking at is Philadelphia right now. What are those players going to be testing? Because a team can test positive, that's fine. But what is it their opponents are going to be testing? Because the NFL is a little bit closer than baseball, but if Philadelphia starts testing positive a lot more than Miami did, who gave it to who, and what does that mean for playing against somebody outside of a bubble?
What the NFL needs to look at is, are they going to be able to finish the season?
No, absolutely not.
You don't think Major League Baseball will finish the season?
No, you said NFL.
No, I'm talking about
Major League Baseball.
No, I don't
think
so.
Vegas doesn't seem to think so.
Really?
Minus 700 for now. Plus
that they're going to finish the season?
No, that they're not going to finish the regular season.
So it's minus 700 that it's not going to be a full 60. Wow.
Plus 400 that they will finish the full
60. I have a theory about what happened. We're going to tie this into the NFL. I have a theory what happened with the NFL, right? The NFL was asked what their contingency plan was for this all along. And it was like, we're just going to go along as planned, as scheduled. And maybe we won't have fans at our games. Maybe we'll even have a reduced amount of fans at the mm-hmm. games. I think, like many of us, we thought we'd be over this by now. At least we would have had control, right? Like, we wouldn't see the numbers skyrocketing.
We were told, yes.
Right. I mean, even for myself, I thought, like, okay, by mid-July, August, we'll be back to normal for the most part. You know, at-risk workers will probably still stay at home, but most people will be back to the grind. But y'all couldn't stay home, y'all couldn't wear masks, and now we're in a mess. And if we lose football, for all you southern states that are still going out and operating, kinda on y'all, okay? And really all of us and our administration. But I just don't think the NFL thought that there was any chance that they even had to really think about this. I thought they thought, hey, we won't, you know, We'll quarantine our players. You know, this thing will die down by, you know, late summer. Mm-hmm. We'll be good to go. Maybe we don't have that many fans in the stadium. And now I wonder, if we can't finish this Major League Baseball season in a sport where if you don't get on base, there's a good chance you aren't not next to another player from another team the entire game. There's really no reason for it. But in football, kind of impossible to avoid, right?
Yeah.
Like, how, if you're a lineman, right? Like, hey, man, I know we're going to be clashing into each other, but let's try not to breathe on each other.
Like those old NFL films where it's, like, super cold and you just see, like, the breath coming out and they're just breathing each other's. Oh.
Right. And so they're.
Sketch.
The NFL.
You can't do that.
The NFL is talking about, oh, we're going to put some face guards in place. But, homie, this is not a liquor store where they have the little plexiglass up, right? And it's in and out. Let me get my beer, and I'm moving, you know, pack of cigarettes, some gum, I'm out. And it's a 30-second transaction. Like, you're face-to-face with these dudes all game.
Not just face-to-face. Like, you are putting hands near their body, near their face. Like, there's more physical contact in football than all the other professional sports in America.
Yes. So we're going back to baseball. We have this outbreak, and I thought this was going to be the test, right? What happens when there is an outbreak? Because they're playing a shortened season.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing less than half the games they usually play. It's what is it? Two and a half month season? 3 month season? Do you remember offhand, Brad?
It's two and a half.
2.5 month season. So what do you do if a team has to miss 14 days? That screws your whole entire schedule up.
So right. What they have is they actually have 60 players that are on their roster technically. So you just bring in those guys that have been quarantined but haven't been playing. So you only have 25 at the stadium.
Okay.
And then you have another, like, it's your minor league team, but they're not playing minor league games and they're quarantined as well. And if you need to bring people in.
So you have 35 dudes chilling on a couch, basically?
Basically, like, yes.
Yo, we might need you to play.
Yeah. And you, I can tell you baseball players will do that.
I would go play baseball. You know how much they get paid compared to what I get paid? Of course they'll do that.
That's what I'm saying. It's like they're going to sit at home quarantined just for the chance to make it to the big leagues.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like
I would too. This is America, baby. It's about the dollar.
I know. That's the system that they have.
But, yeah, but then are we going to get are we going to get towards the end of the season? Are we going to get a, you know, a Yankees team that has four or five of their top dude? Like, what if Mike Stanton or Giancarlo Stanton's out?
Then he's out.
Well, that'd be normal. Then he's out. That's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Maybe a different.
Well, I'm just saying, like, just, you know, like you get the very first, you know, series of the playoffs, and you have your two top, you know, players that just tested positive. Now you have to bring up, you know, Joe Blow and his, you know, whatever friend to come fill the lineup. Like, it's going to be a watered down.
Well, if he's taking away Stanton or Judge, you're probably losing an extra two hits that are home runs. The rest are going to be strikeouts. Well, so it's going to be business as normal.
Let's stop being literal about this. His point is, what if you're missing your superstars? What if your squad is out and this happens in the divisional round?
Well, then you bring in those guys.
Put an asterisk. Right.
I mean,
everyone's been saying an asterisk is going to be on this season no matter what.
Regardless.
I mean, you're there to play. We're there to see kind of sports being played, but we're not expecting to see these superstars stay around. I mean, you've seen them. A lot of these guys opt out. So if they're going to stay in, I'm expecting at least a couple of these big name stars gone by midseason because of COVID.
Once again, this is the Optimistic Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Jarrell, Brad, Statman Brad, I'm sorry, John Lucan, and our special guest, Hoser, in the building. We want to thank you again for listening to this ridiculous show. We also want to thank Pullin Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullins has been serving the Chico community since 1918 at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico, and they can be reached at 342-1055. Once again, thank you to Pullins. Thank you to North Rim Adventure Sports. We appreciate the love, especially during these times. We know it's not easy to spend advertising dollars right now, so we appreciate y'all from the bottom of our hearts. Let's jump back into this conversation and kind of wrap this up before we move on. So, the game tonight between the home opener for the Marlins and the
Baltimore Orioles.
Thank you. Has been canceled.
Yeah.
So far,
and Baltimore left back to Baltimore, and it looks like Tuesday might not happen either. Or there's still talks that they might just move it all the way up to Baltimore and have that be a home game for them.
I mean, if they left, it looks like they ain't playing, right?
Like, it's, I mean, right now, Miami is still in Philadelphia waiting for results from the rest of the team, and then they're going to decide whether or not they go to Baltimore or they just...
Okay, let's talk about how miserable that's got to be, right? You live in Miami, you have the beach, and you go on a road trip, and now for 14 days, you're stuck in a hospital in Philly. You can't even go out and get cheesesteaks. You're just stuck in the hotel. One... How awful for those hotel workers who are just like, yo, we got a bunch of COVID dudes laid up in here, right? Like, how are they eating? There's got to be some room service situation. They got to be just dropping off the food, knocking and running, right? Like, doorbell ditch. Like, how do you imagine this is going in the hotel right now?
Swimmingly.
No problems at all.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that how you get room service anyways? They just knock and leave it at the door?
No, I'm used to, like, top of the line. They come in the room, they pull the thing off.
What is this, Home Alone 2?
Where are you going?
What?
VIP, baby.
Jeez. Apparently.
Presidential suites, dog.
So, which person's paying for that?
Usually my mom. She runs a hotel in San Francisco, so I get hooked up. I still have to pay, okay?
That's the answer.
I just get a nice little upgrade from old Linsonati. Appreciate you, Mama, even though you're probably not listening because you have better things to do. Thank you for the support, though. Love you. I'm just joking. She listens occasionally. I do... I'm concerned for the NFL getting kicked off. I don't think we're going to finish Major League Baseball season.
Mm-mm.
Or I think we're going to have to take a hiatus, and they're going to have to think of a plan B.
Yeah.
I mean
honestly, the bubble idea was the smartest idea. I'm shocked they didn't even do it. But you know, Manfred's probably one of the worst commissioners ever in any sport.
I mean, is it too late to go back to that idea? Like, is it too late to do logistics and try to get a bubble going?
I mean,
the seasons are, like, we're already, what, 6 games in? Or
and if you're going based off the regular baseball season, we're halfway through the season. So how far can we push this before we're getting into next season? You know what I mean? Because these players do need rest.
If you're playing in Florida or Phoenix, you really don't have too much of a winter for the most part. So if you're just doing that, like, you can play into December. It's going to suck, and you might have a little bit of rain, but it's not going to be that bad.
The one hope I have is we have 8 weeks until the NFL season kicks off, I believe.
End of August, beginning of September, yeah.
The first game is usually right after Labor Day, so we have just about 7.5 weeks before the NFL season kicks off. What this tells me, though, is there is no chance we're getting college football.
No way. No way, shape, or form. Just honestly, just because of just the NCAA and just the way colleges are set up. I mean, you look at California as an example, and even though it's not Division I, but all the California state schools, are all have already gone to off campus online for the next semester. So for all those fall sports, are you going to have kids come onto campus and practice and do? It's a nightmare. You're not going to be able to have volleyball, all the different sports that are going on at one season and be able to have all these kids and work it out to have gym time and all that kind of stuff. So
right now week one is scheduled for beginning of September right now.
Sorry,
I just wanted to confirm that was
confirm with like an actual hard concrete
date, Brad.
Like September 8th is the first day. Not the first week of September, like we just said.
Okay, I'm going to go back to that then.
Thank you, sir.
The Raiders got to pay for that stadium, though. They guys trying to make money back. So they want to keep that open.
That's also true. I mean, there is a few stadiums that Atlanta just had theirs. I mean, Minnesota was a couple years ago, just built theirs. I'm sure they're
itching to get their,
Yeah, they need money. They need the stadium to be filled.
Well, and think about all the ancillary incomes that we're not really talking about, right? Let's talk about the guy who's out there selling T-shirts before a game. Especially you talk about college football. I knew a guy who every year during the Red River rivalry against Oklahoma versus UT would drive up there, and he would make $10,000 selling little flags, little UT flags, every Red River
rivalry.
Man, I am struggling today. Thank you. That's Statman Brad coming through.
Is that under the table, or did he have a sales permit for that?
Oh no, that was all cash. That was all cash. But that was the biggest day of the year for him, right?
Yeah.
And he made money doing other things, right? But that was his big payday, right? Now he's not going to have that. But think about how many people across this country depend on major events, right? Like, because not only for the Raiders, they're looking to pay for that stadium, but how else do they pay for that stadium? We have concerts. We have different events that go on. Mm-hmm. None of those things are happening right now. And then all the little vendors that go along with that.
Right.
On a much smaller micro level for me, I'm a DJ. This is the part of the year I make most of my money. There's so many people that are itching to make a dollar, and it's a trickle-down effect, right? You don't have sports. All these guys who are out in the parking lot selling flags and T-shirts, usually without a business permit, that income is totally gone.
It stimulates the economy.
It really does.
You're going to go spend that.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So, I don't know. This is getting weird, for lack of a better term. And I don't think
are they going to start doing too? Because now they're doing cashless. So are they going around like, nah, you know, are they going to have like one of those machines, you know, and have their phone out?
Right, like a little square that you swipe.
You know, are they taking protocol and precaution, things like that? You know, if there is, you know, are people going to be worried about that, you know, and not take the t-shirt now?
Right.
Even if it does start
That's
up?
True. Wow, yeah.
Yeah,
there's people out there. Yeah. There's Karens out there that are really caring about that. And, I'm not going to buy that t-shirt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't have a card reader or coin shortage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this thing has so many ripple effects that we don't even think about, you know, because on a grand scale, we're talking about macroeconomics. We're talking about the NFL, you know, who brings in over $10 billion a year in annual revenue. Potentially having to cancel their season. Now, no one said that. I'm just speculating, as many of us are, right? Major League Baseball now having to face this, you know, losing billions of dollars of revenue. But we often don't think about those other businesses, you know, the small mom and pop, you know, restaurants around the stadiums that do a lot of their big business during baseball season, basketball season, football season. During major concerts, all that kind of stuff we're losing out on, and it's getting scarier, y'all. I'll have you notice that parts of Italy, I know Italy's discussing it, Premier League is discussing it, letting fans come back because they handled this. They locked everyone down, said you ain't going nowhere but the doctors or to go get groceries, mm-hmm. and if you're out, we're going to fine you. I know my boy who's stuck in Morocco for quarantine, they didn't even ask questions. It was like, if you don't have a doctor's note, you're going to jail for the night. That's it. Like, you were allowed to be out during the day if you're going to one place or the other. Hard curfew in place, and then that was it. And they've curbed this thing a lot better than pretty much everyone's done a much better job than we have. But yeah, this is gonna get weird. So we'll see.
Yeah.
If you got to guess right now, are we gonna have an NFL season? Yes or no? You're betting $100.
That it starts on time. Is that the question?
No, that wasn't the question. The question was, do you think the NFL season is gonna be? Oh, damn it, Brad.
No. I'm gonna say no.
Okay.
I'm gonna say, as a betting man, I'm gonna take those odds and say yes. Just because if football season doesn't come back, I don't know what I'm gonna do, you guys.
Yeah, you're gonna be struggling.
I'm gonna lose it.
Hoser, yes or no?
I don't believe it's gonna start.
Yeah.
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 Or finish or anything.
My only hope is that they do have some time. They have 8 weeks before the NFL season is scheduled to begin. So that does buy them a little time to call some people.
And again, they can learn from the MLB, the NBA, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, and kind of try to implement those things. In either way into the NFL. But again, like Brad was saying, the NFL is, you know, so much contact and so close together constantly during the game that it's going to be the hardest, I think, sport to get back up and running.
Yeah, I mean, and Brad, you had it in the rundown last week, right, that the NFL, they cut their 90-man roster down to 80.
Yeah, to start off the training camp.
You're still bringing 80 dudes in.
Yep. And you still got to come down to 53. So.
And we're not even counting coaches in there.
Nope. It's going to be hectic.
But again, that's why it's going to be hectic. Because football, I mean, unlike baseball or basketball, yeah, there's plenty of injuries in both those sports. But football, you can't supplement and have a light roster in football, mm-hmm. because you could have five people in five different positions injured on one play.
Okay, but let's also think about this. The off the field actions that these players on a normal week-to-week basis do, they go to the clubs. They go out.
Well, those aren't open right now.
In some states, they are open. And those teams, those players, they might be going out. Thankfully, the NFL has actually said if you get caught and you have COVID, you won't be getting paid.
Which is interesting. So was that collectively bargained?
That was by the NFL.
NFLPA signed off on
that. Signed off on this one.
Okay, so Lou Williams, if he was an NFL player, would not
be
getting paid.
Oh, he'd be screwed. Yes.
So let's just jump ahead there. I think this is a perfect
natural.
They're
in a bubble. Aren't they in a bubble, right?
Yeah.
They're in a bubble. So I don't think that's why the bubble won't work.
Yeah.
You got more players on one team, 50, right? You said 80? Or 50?
Yeah, they break it down to 50.
80 in the training camp drops it down to 53. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and they're not even planning on doing a bubble. They're planning on leaving these players at home. Yeah.
So those side pieces are going to be free to roam.
Exactly.
Jeez. Oh, man. Side chicks galore.
That bubble's going to be popped.
So if you're new, if this is the first time you're hearing about it, Lou Williams is going to miss the first two games after the NBA kicks off because he's having to quarantine because my man Lou decided to go out and hang out at Magic City.
Well, he was hungry.
He decided, all right, first of all, for the uninformed, let me tell you, a lot of people were making jokes about Lou Williams, like, oh, I'm sure he was eating at the strip club. I used to live across the street from a gentleman's club in Austin, Texas. They by far had the best happy hour, best steak and fries, $4.99 for a little New York strip and fries, and $2 you call it drinks. So I don't think it's out of the question that he went to go get some food. I'm just saying, the fact that there are some butts going on while he was there, you know, inconsequential. My man was hungry and needed to go to the strip club to get some food.
Essential workers. He's stimulating the economy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people are making fun of him. Even Lou Williams said,
enjoy the memes.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about it. Just enjoy the memes. Which is pretty hilarious. But my man's going to miss the first two games. And this situation is kind of hilarious.
Oh, it's not kind of hilarious. Oh, it is absolutely hilarious. Not just kind of.
It's not like he was at home chilling, too. He's in a bubble. You know you're not supposed to leave.
You saw what happened for a guy going to get DoorDash.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, like, how he thought this was going to go for him. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to sneak out the crib real quick and just go check out Magic City. No one will know I'm there. Hey, bruh, it's 2020.
He's, like, wearing a disguise.
Exactly. Did he dress up as what's Kyrie Irving's character?
Uncle Drew.
Uncle Drew. Uncle Lou. Out here in these streets.
Was he wearing a mask? Obviously, he didn't have a mask on either.
Right. He got recognized.
Yeah, he got recognized.
Yeah, bro. Man.
Poor decisions. Poor decisions.
And I'm not trying to stereotype too much, but if you had to ask me between NBA players and NFL players, who I think is more likely to mess this up and go to a strip club?
NFL.
Actually, now that I think about it, it's kind of a toss-up.
No, I would say NBA because they travel more.
Yeah.
Well, even though they're in a bubble.
That's true.
As far as
on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in general,
I got you.
I chatted to NFL guys, and he told me that, you know, these guys, we don't like them because they come into our cities. Like, we play one day real hard. We're hurting.
Yeah.
And we're in the, you know, we're recuperating.
Yeah.
And they're out there partying.
NBA guys coming into the city on a Tuesday. Your girl's like, I want to go clubbing on a Tuesday. You know, and you're like,
it's going
well, there's
going
to be NBA guys at the club.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I'm at home. My back, you know, I'm resting. I'm iced up. And so they're going to be out.
That's a good point. And NFL teams usually fly home right after the games, whereas NBA players,
they're there for the night or two.
Yeah, you're going on these East Coast swings if you're a West Coast team for 2.5 weeks at a time. So you're landing in Toronto and spending a day and a half there, 2 days there. You're about to turn it up, you know? I mean, this is why players win teams. Good little betting tip here for everyone, all you kids at home.
I'm listening.
If the team playing the Miami Heat arrived a day before as opposed to the night before a game, go ahead and take your team. If they arrived the night before the game, go ahead and take Miami all day, okay? Because they're out in South Beach, they're at Space, they're at Live, and it's going to be rough.
How do you know these places?
I've been to Miami.
Okay.
I pay attention, dog.
All right.
I know what's real in these streets. I'm sorry, I won't ever do that again on the show. Can you get Aaron for us here in a minute so we can talk some golf and get a hockey update? Because I think
Can I use your phone? I need her number.
Yes.
Thank you.
You can. Good producing on air. Also, my mom texted me and said, I do listen to your show and I do support you.
Tell her I said sorry for cursing.
She's not the one you gotta be worried about. My auntie out in Dallas ain't happy right now. I'm
okay,
sure.
Sorry, auntie.
Oh, man. Once again, this is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show here on FM 90.1 KZFR. Usually, we'd get the news right about now, but Derek's gone.
Yeah, it's bittersweet.
I mean, no, it's pretty bitter because I wanted to make fun of him about his $300 million roster that did not show up to play.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we're going to get his sister on, who's better anyway.
Way better.
Let's face facts. We enjoy having Aaron on much more than we enjoy Derek most of the time. Not that we don't love Derek, but Aaron always brings it. Aaron, will you please turn her on? Thank you.
God. Brad's just killing it today.
Yeah, Stepman Brad's all over the place. Aaron, hello. Welcome, as always.
Thanks for having me.
As always, we're happy to have you, especially in light of not having your brother who decided to ditch us for the next couple shows, which is all right.
In his defense, it really was my dad's birthday yesterday, but I can understand why you would rag on him a little bit since the Dodgers played horribly this weekend.
Yeah, how'd that feel?
Hurts a little bad knowing we threw $360 million to one player and we dropped two games.
365.
A little embarrassing. Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah, that's more than the Giants' payroll. So just think about that. I'm not going to do that to you. I always give you a hard time about the Dodgers, and I'd rather save it for your brother because a baseball season might be over by the time he gets back.
That's a good point.
So we'll save that for you, bro. But update us. So some golf happened this weekend, correct?
We did have some golf. Not the most exciting golf, but it was a fun last day. Michael Thompson won at 19 under. He birdied two of the last three holes to hold off Adam Long. Adam Long actually had almost eagled on the last hole, but Michael Thompson was able to take home another tour win, and that's his second. So it was good. I think it went back and forth. I know Tony Finau did not have a complete meltdown like Brad always enjoys to see, but he did not live up to what I believe is his potential.
Right. Now we have this next tournament coming up, the RBC Heritage. It's loaded field.
Not Tiger, though.
Yeah,
Tiger.
Thank you.
I mean, not Tiger. He's taking a break real quick.
So, Aaron, what is he? He's not back. He's not back.
I would say Tiger is not back. Absolutely. I think he placed 40th last weekend.
Tied for 40th last weekend. Yes. So, not back.
Whatever. He was in Magic City the night before, so it's a little different. But who do you like in the new this tournament coming up, the RBC Heritage?
You know what? I'm hoping for Tony. I think he has had the most top 10 wins in like the last year or so and just hasn't gotten there. So I'm really hoping that Tony Finau is going to take home the win.
A little Utah bias there, huh?
You know what? Unfortunately, it's changed me as a person. I hate myself a little bit. There's nothing to do about it.
All right, Aaron, what do you have for us? You wanted to update some Puck.
Puck, yeah.
That's right.
All right, go ahead. Let us know the latest.
Honestly, I think the most important hockey news is that Seattle has released their new logo.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys saw it. Yep. It's kind of cool, you know.
Well, your brother and I had a long discussion about this. We were mad disappointed because their mascot is a Kraken, which is a dope mascot. And they don't even really have any tentacles or anything, you know.
Yeah, it looks like an eel almost.
Yeah, you could have made those jerseys so cool. And it was just like...
It's a little disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, their color scheme is all right. But, I mean, no tentacles?
It kind of reminds me of the Hartford Whalers color scheme on that one.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good call. Yeah,
it's I mean, really at some odd. Point, all the color schemes have been used, so there's, you know, you can't reinvent the wheel, so... Only so much you can do.
Now, with hockey, are we close to starting here? I know they had to
very close.
Showed up to training camps and stuff like that. Is everything still kind of on track to start?
They are. So they are in their bubbles in Edmonton and Toronto, East and West, respectively. The NHL has reported that there have been no positive corona tests in the last week. So they're on track to start on Saturday. On Saturday, we have five games. And it's going to kind of be a fast and furious for the first few days because there's going to be so many games played because of the how they're doing these playoffs. So it's going to be really exciting. I'm pretty pumped for a lot of sports.
Yeah, for the sports we're getting back, did you have something?
No, I didn't. I just...
You just leaned into the microphone to confuse me?
Yeah, it was weird.
That's good. All right.
Well done.
And I would encourage... So I know that hockey is definitely the least popular of all the sports, which I understand. But I would encourage everyone to tune in and watch because typically they have 20 cameras per game. But now, because there is no audience, they will have 32 cameras per game. So it could be pretty exciting to watch.
That's going to be a lot.
Or a seizure.
Disorienting, you know.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to show all 32 at once. I think that there's like a production crew behind that, but, you know.
They still got a dude in the truck making all the calls. Aaron, as always, thank you. You were great. We will hear from you next week. Between now and then, have a good week, and we'll chat with you then.
Sounds good. Talk to you later, guys.
Later, Aaron. All right, that was Erin Isamaki, our foreign correspondent, always bringing it. We want to thank her, as always, for her time. Do we have a quick look into the futures?
Yeah, I threw a little parlay this morning I could divulge to you and the listeners.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money?
All right, finally, some sports that I somewhat know, and I can stop losing all my bets on golf. All right, baseball's back. We're not even looking into that. Football's not back either. Basketball is what I was actually trying to get towards. We got some games this week. Also, be on the lookout for a new pod dropping this week, this Friday. We're going to have our practice parlay of the week where all of us are going ahead and pick a game, so be watching out for those picks as well. But yeah, we just threw a little 14 parlay throughout the week. So I'll tell you the four games that I like. And it's different watching these bubble games because you don't, like I said before, usually when you have, like Jarreau said, even you have little insight of, you know, people playing in Miami, they're known for partying, and you have, you know, these little kind of nuances that you kind of stick to in your betting. This has kind of turned it on its head in the bubble because there's no fans, there's no home court advantage, none of that. So you're kind of just playing purely off the sport and how guys are really playing right now. So I'm taking tonight as my first game. I have Clippers plus 4.5 against the Lakers. I think JR had his game last night. So he's going to do nothing today. I have Blazers over the Grizzly minus 2. It's going to be later on the week on Thursday. And then this weekend, we have Mavs against the Rockets. I have Mavs minus 1. And we have Nuggets at Heat. Nuggets minus 2.
At Heat. At Heat.
Well, technically, it's in Florida.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's like they are the most home court.
Well, is in Orlando in the bubble?
Yeah, but I mean, it's in Florida.
What? Orlando, Florida.
What? Did I miss something?
Yeah, Orlando's the most home team.
Oh.
Yes.
All right, so yeah, those are my four picks. Be on the lookout for the Friday episode, yeah.
All right. make sure you download the pod wherever you get your podcast. Just search Talking About Practice. You'll find us. Before we get out of here, just wanted to get a couple more things from you real quick, Hoser. What is the most ridiculous tattoo someone's ever asked you to do for them?
Besides that swastika.
Yeah. Man. You get your lip tattoos.
Yeah.
I did an armpit tattoo, but I never had anything like really ridiculous. You know, I had a guy get what's up one time on his biceps. You know, what's up.
That's kind of hilarious, actually.
You know, he was so small, it was like 12-point font, so... I'm like, people ain't gonna be able to see that, but you know, keep them out of trouble, I guess, and that they can't see it. But you know,
do you have a preference on region of the body you like to tattoo?
Well, it's always easier to tattoo the forearm or the outside arm, the leg.
What's
like
most
that.
Painful?
Probably the ribs.
Ribs?
Ribs.
Brad, do you have any tattoos?
I'm actually thinking about getting one, and the ribs. And the ribs is where, possibly two if I lose one bet. But I'm looking at getting one, and it's going to be on the ribs on the left side, so.
But it's not, like, painful. Like,
no, I've got a high pain tolerance, but that's not what I want to hear.
You'll probably like it.
Do you? I'm sorry. This coming from the guy who thought he tore his ACL.
I heard a pop. I heard a pop. I felt
and then
it
too. He got up and ran a triple right after that.
That's right.
Is that what you did right afterwards?
No, he went not to first right afterwards. And ran first all the way to home.
It was like a good.
Oh, he did a Paul Pierce, 100%.
Yeah. Without the wheelchair.
Yeah, exactly.
And without the pooping of the pants.
Oh, man. All right, Jose, tell our audience where they could find out more information, where they could check you out on social media, all that stuff.
You can check me out on Instagram at Explozo Tattoos, which is EXPLOZO Tattoos, TATTOO. And then at Facebook at Jose Rosales, or you follow my business page, Explozo Custom Tattoos, so you can check me out that way.
Appreciate it, my man. Thanks for sliding through the studio.
Yeah, thanks for coming
this
on,
was
man.
Fun.
Thank you for having me.
If you guys have questions for Hoser, hit us up. TBP, not a game. We'd love to pass those on. I could have done the whole hour just asking you tattoo questions because I think it's just such an interesting profession. And there's so many intricacies that go into it. And I'm sure you could tell us stories for days. I know I meant to get with you about how many. I know you've done several athletes, and we wanted to go there, but next time.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll run down those stories.
I'd like to be back if y'all invite me back.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll get you on a pod episode so Auntie isn't so upset about you.
Yeah.
That's a little bit more free.
I didn't know that.
No, that was my fault.
I should have been more, but, a tattoo artist, that's the kind of environment you're in.
Yeah,
no doubt. I get it.
Everything goes.
Yeah, you're good. So once again, check out Jose where on social media?
Instagram, Explozo Tattoos.
Yes, sir. Appreciate having you. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back next Monday, 5:30. I will be doing Flipside. So for all of you who hit me up, I know I wasn't there. It wasn't my fault, all right? I'll be there next Sunday night. It's been real.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Next up, the show.
Here it is.
That was awesome.
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
I'm undergoing self-isolation. It's the only way to be. Just for the lack of stimulation.